Sportsfeld back for another week. It is the best sport, alternative sports podcast. I heard somebody describe us as alternative sports podcast.
I like that.
Go ahead.
It's like there's like country music, and then there's there's alt country music, and like the good stuff is the alt country. It's like we're the alt sports.
Yeah, this is alt sports. I was thinking, honestly, I'm glad you said that very thing, because that's what I was thinking. I was thinking, did that person mean that we are the alternative station version, the Eve 6, if you will, of sports podcasts? But then I realized that I think what they meant by that is that a larger parent company that also owns like a television station doesn't produce our show. Right.
I mean, that's true. I like our version better.
Personally. Sort of an indie label. Yeah, I'm going to say Eve 6 again, because my reference is to what plays on alternative radio.
Your reference is from Edge 102 in 1997.
Right. Yeah, well, that's where the knowledge drops off when I would have listened. They told us, man, they tried to tell us on movies and television that Eve 6 is what going to college sounded like, right?
That's extremely true.
It's not.
I love that your touchstone for alternative music is Eve 6.
Vertical Horizon. I don't know. what categorizes it? Is that even a category of music anymore? Does anybody even play?
I don't really know. I feel like indie in like nomenclature, I feel like indie replaced alternative, but I feel like they kind of mean the same thing.
Yes, I agree with that. I think it became indie, because I remember when I got to college, you know, and now you're listening to Eve 6 at college and you're like, yep, this is what it's all about. Like, we're wearing collared shirts and t-shirts over top. Like, we are in college, man, blazers with jeans.
What did we watch recently? We watched something recently where I was like, man, you know what I miss? I miss being allowed to wear like a long sleeve shirt with a t-shirt over top.
Listen, you're allowed to do that. It's just now that you're in your 30s, no one cares.
And also, right? Cassie would yell at me.
True.
She just went, That was such a good, it was such a good look, though. Also, like, polo shirts with a t-shirt underneath. Also, a black or brown polo with a white t-shirt underneath. That was,
for sure.
That was the shit right there.
Absolutely. Absolutely right.
Fashion. We are now resting on pretty. This is fashion time.
I was big, and I still do this from time to time when I'm, but not as much, because my wife will see me do this and then be like, no, don't do that. I was big collared shirt under sweater guy, remember?
Oh, which is, yeah, sort of a chubby kid
staple.
For sure. I actually, there's a picture of me I found on Facebook when we were looking through old pictures in our group chat a couple weeks ago, where I'm rocking the collared shirt under the black V-neck sweater.
Yes.
But it was when I was skinny enough that it actually looked great.
Yes.
And like, if I tried to do it now, just like, it would look ridiculous.
The thing that you learn from those style adventures, and I'm glad you said that you looked great because you were the size to make that look great, is what you learn is like, no amount of dressing would have turned me into like looking like you in that.
when I was 22 and not eating.
Yes.
How'd you get so skinny? Well, I did a lot of drugs and didn't eat food.
I was very unhealthy. Although that doesn't work as well now in your 30s. Now being healthy is your only way to, like...
Being healthy, like, just keeps me at, like, the same now. Like, being healthy isn't making me lose weight.
Right.
But it's preventing me from gaining weight.
That is, that's the best you can hope for, really. Unless, absolutely. Like, there's only two speeds, right? Is you can do that.
Right.
You can maintain and, like, live with whatever, like, every year you're going to gain certain things that you're just never going to work off. Or you can, like, it can only be the only thing you ever think about and ever do. And it can be the only thing.
Exactly. I can't,
that's not worth it for me. It's not worth it for me.
No, me neither. I feel like pre-COVID, I was in, like, a good balance of being able to go to the gym every day. Not, like, not in a crazy, like... I'm there for like half an hour. Like, let's be real. But like, since it's kind of like, you know what? Maybe I just need to do like a few things at home, and that's what my life is going to be.
I have to give all the credit in the world to my wife. By the way, happy 8-month anniversary of the last time we were in the studio doing a sports film. This is 8 months of the day that it was named
8 months.
Officially a pandemic, and you and I were like, tried to do a show. It was like,
we were told to not spiral.
That was a spiral. Listen, we called it. We called it again, as we always do.
There's one thing we've established. It's that we are prognosticators and that we predict and know what is coming, including pandemics.
Yeah, sports is tip of the iceberg. Sports is like, that's the prognosticating and the, understanding how the machine works. That's the for fun, right? That's not navigating life. That's just... No. Hard to believe. Hard to believe. We don't want to drag this. I feel like we talk about COVID all the time. Everybody does all the time and everything. But like, shit, fuck, fucking shit. I'm so fucking mad that it's fucking 8 month anniversary and we're in this. It's so shitty. It's so bad.
I was saying with this today how it's like way worse, but we're all
way worse.
But we're all just like doing stuff anyway.
Man, I can believe it because I feel like the people that really, really, really deeply were taking it seriously from the get-go, even that after 6 months, you're just like, oh, I'm so fucking tired. Like, I'm just so tired. And we've missed our summer and now we're staring down winter. It's mid-November basically. Like, oh man, it's gonna be rough. I'm worried.
Our friend Chris Lund phrased it the other day that we've just like lost a year.
Yeah.
And I hadn't really thought of it in that context before. And I can't think of it in any other context now since, because like, A, it's true. And like, that's just so sad. You and I are in the best of the situation and it still blows.
Think about it's like, just, there's so many things that are happening to try to keep it in the lens that we view this show through a lot of the time. Like 6 months ago, 5 months ago when it was May, 6 months ago when it was May, like we were trying to figure out like, man, when is sports coming back? What are they going to do? And every league, even NBA is like, yeah, we're going to be back in December with fans. It's insane. That's insane. It's worse than it ever was. It's worse than it was when they shut the leagues down. It's worse when they looked at the leagues and said, well, there's no way we can come back now. It's trending in a terrible direction, and there's more cases than ever. And, like, even the NBA is just like, well, we're coming back, and we're going to play 72 games and travel with fans. Like, it blows my mind. And that's just sort of the attitude is like, well, we gave it a real shot at the beginning of summer. And it didn't take. And then, I mean, there was the election. So it's been 2 weeks of just like, well, no one's running the country in America. That's fine. It's sort of incredible to watch this unfold and to be here at 8 months and to have new records in cases after, there was that. I look back to that sweet. Remember the sweet, like, 2 weeks we got it to like 130 and then 110. And then we got sub 100. And it was like, holy cow. We're really making progress on this thing.
Yeah. And then, like, I also think your point about how, like, the election is crazy and it's like a coup, like, literally, not even a joke. And then there's, like, a pandemic. The idea, the fact that in, whatever, April, either of us were like, you know, this is going to be tough, but, like, eventually we'll get back to normal. Like, the idea of normal is gone.
Like, this is just normal.
Like, it's and like, yeah, this is, and I think that's like the ability for us to like adapt to it is kind of amazing to me. How like, and I don't necessarily mean this as a positive or a negative, but just how like this is just like what life is now.
Unbelievable.
And we're just like, oh, okay, I guess we'll just like chat on Zoom and order our groceries and beer and not leave our homes. And we're just like, that's fine. It could be worse. Whereas, like, if a year ago, if you were like, this is what you're doing next year, you're like, well, that sounds fucking terrible.
Brutal.
Even though it could be worse, and it is fine, but it's just like, our adaptability, I guess, is like kind of amazing in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
I think. And then you think about all the other things that are going on. It's like, wow, everything is really weird. I'm not going to say they're even bad anymore. It's just really weird.
Mm-hmm.
Even though a lot of it is very bad.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah, it is really bad. Things are mostly, you know, and at the same time, things continue to roll on and roll forward.
Right. And what else can we do?
What else can we do? There's nothing. You try to survive it. Yeah, we're staring down cold winter. We had this crazy, like, the universe opened up and we had summer for a weekend, which was super cool. I don't know about you, but I was loving that. We get a little fake summer here in November. It was like 22 degrees here. Crazy.
Yeah, it was super warm here. Even today, it was warm. But apparently it's going to get cold again soon.
Yeah, down to, I'll say this, live weather, people live on podcasts, down to 11 when I went out this afternoon.
Oof.
Or this evening. So, listen, it's November. Like, the fact that it's not ankle-deep snow right now is like, you know, as much as yeah. It's like, ugh, 11. It's like, it's going to be minus 11.
If we're inside because it's quarantine, and that's fine. I would prefer it to stay not just like snowy and terrible for as long as possible. That would be my hope.
Right, because you're going on your walks, your weekend walks.
Yeah,
which is vital.
And like, well, I'll do it in the winter, but not if it's like.
Yeah, you know, it sucks.
Yeah.
I have to give credit. I think I half gave credit to my wife earlier, and then didn't finish the thought. She has hit her step milestones. Continually. Wow. It's unbelievable.
How's she pulling that off?
There's only one way to do it, my friend, and that is to take a lot of steps every day. It's the only way.
You know what I mean.
She paces for, you know, an hour and a half, probably.
Yeah, that makes me sound crazy.
No, I'm not. Well, I'm not. Not like an hour and a half straight, but throughout the day, she's very diligent in making sure that, like, she's staying on track. It's incredible. I could not do it. To exactly your point, it's perfect, is that, like, I posted, like, gym selfies to people, like, the two of the 3 days before COVID hit. So I too was like, yeah, getting
yeah,
into this,
for
turning
sure.
around. I started going to the gym and I started getting my finances in order. And that was my two things I did in the week before COVID. Now I live in Kitchener.
Yeah. Look how things have changed in 8 months.
Life is crazy, man. I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah. I mean, it is. It could not be weirder or crazier.
What else we got? What else we got? I mean,
I don't know. I mean, it's getting harder and harder to do a what else we got when every week is pretty close to the same. Not exactly the same. And not necessarily in a negative, but pretty close to the same.
Yeah. I mean, the things you do are the things you do. Boy, oh boy. Hard to believe. This is already my second full region episode. Crazy.
See, this is the thing. You could have told me it was like your fifth.
Right.
And I'd be like, yeah. You've been in the region for so long now. It's only been 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
This coming Friday will be 3 weeks. You know, here we are. It was beautiful this weekend, so we went out and walked around. It was nice.
Crazy.
Went to Victoria Park and had brunch. And that's sort of it. Yeah, it's nice. It's nice. My darling wife has gotten more excellent decorations and ornaments and some photos, and things are getting framed. Sections of rooms are starting to take shape. It's nice.
That's good. That's the best. That's the best period of moving. When you're finally things are taking shape, and this is the way it goes.
Boy, oh boy. Yeah, you know, it's tough. It's tough scenes. It's really tough scenes. And as you mentioned, the coup going on in the South, as like, it's been crazy. I've been crazy. Obviously, not compulsively watching CNN like we were at the back end of last week.
No.
But boy,
it's pretty phenomenal. Like, it's,
you said,
you know, it's not, I guess, entirely surprising,
mm-hmm.
but it's based on like how the rest of the last 4 years went. But it's also like, man, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's the struggle. It's the struggle. Exactly right. It's the struggle between, like, everything you learned in the last 4 years as to, like, what to actually expect from someone.
Yeah.
And from Donald Trump. And then, like, the every other time in the history of America that this has happened. And the other person was like, yeah, well, like, it's just sort of amazing.
Yeah. It does feel like had this happened, I don't know, 4 years ago, which, like, I know is impossible because it's not how it works. I feel like everyone would be way more upset.
Yeah. Well, we're coming out of, it's going to be interesting to see how this changes the world, right? The sort of, if getting just like a regular zero replacement player politician, sort of what it changes in American politics going forward, right? Because, like, there's a, there, like, you know, for the fact that he lost in the Electoral College, like, that fucking guy got more than 70 million votes. And the people that support him in a way that they did not support any other Republican candidate in my lifetime.
The thing about him and his supporters is that, fuck them all.
Right.
I don't, like, there's no, it's crazy how, like, I understand the, like, desire for older folks and centrist leaning folks to, like, want it all to come together and, like, want unity and compromise and all that good Aaron Sorkin West Wing stuff. Like, I know it's easy to make fun of, but I also completely understand the desire for it. But, like, no.
Anymore. But we're talking about 70 million people is a thing that I keep coming back to. Is like, that's a fucking lot of people.
And, like, I'm sure there's millions here too. And my thing is just like, fuck them. Like, I don't want to compromise with them. Fuck them. Fuck them all.
Right. And they certainly haven't earned the opposite side of it. That is right. That is hilarious. Where it was like, at no point, any point in the last 4 years did any Republican even offer a droplet of humanity to anybody who asked for it.
And it's like, the thing that drives me crazy, it's not even just like the 70 million pretty close to literal Nazis. It's also the, like, the attitude that from, like, centrist people of, like, oh, we'll just, like, get along with us, like, without extending anything to anyone else. It's like, you have to, like, everyone seems to just be wanting, like, being, like, sympathize with us and help us without going the other way also. And that's not phrased well, but you know what I mean. Basically, everyone except the people I agree with can go to hell, is what I'm right. trying to say.
Yeah. It's going to be, I don't know, it's scary. It's still scary.
It really is. It's one of those things where the, like, history part of my brain and, like, what we've seen in our lives is like, oh, this will work out. Like, it's crazy, but, like, whatever. Like, how bad can it be? And then, like, the part of my brain that's like, oh, we said that a lot, and now we're in a literal pandemic. And, like, there might be a coup. It's like, maybe it won't be okay. Like, anything could happen. I'd be like, yeah, that seems right.
It is. I sort of agree that there is that sort of, I think there's a part of your mind that has that security blanket of, like, the same thing as when you see countries in the news getting bombed. You're just like, well, that's never going to happen here.
Right.
It's not literally impossible. You know what I mean? Like, it's not 0%. And we look at these sort of things and we look at it and we go, well, you just as you said, like, it's probably going to work out. It's like, man, there's still, like, this has exposed a massive division. A country I think we knew was already very divided, but, like, it is the tensions between the two kinds of people that you just described. It's, man, it's scary. It's really scary.
Yeah, and, like, it's not, contrary to what I literally just said, like, it's not going to get better.
No,
it might.
Why, like, this, I don't know. How could
this
it?
Particular thing might resolve, but, like, it's not going to get better.
Yeah, no, absolutely right. Like, the transition of power probably get resolved, but God only knows what we're in for. God only knows. Who knows? We're smart guys. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, if anything is true, you and I will figure it out.
The nation turns its lonely eyes to us, the experts. we move forward. There's, you know, sports rumblings. It's transaction season, so we get to react to rumors and hearsay, which is all anybody really likes about sports in the first place. We'll do that in just one second. So the week rolls on, and I mean, we told you so. The Jays are getting Francisco Lindor. It's all you read. It's all you see. It's everywhere. That's us. That's all us.
I mean, at this point, it'd be crazy for it to not happen.
Jays are getting Lindor. You heard it here first. Jake had it first.
The real thing is that what needs to happen is they need to trade for Lindor, but they need to trade for Lindor while we're recording.
Hmm. Yeah.
Like right now would be great.
I would agree. Baseball offseason, who knows? It's one of those things where people are like, when did the baseball offseason start? It's like, oh, a week ago. It's just that baseball's weird like that. People are in no rush. Yeah, very interesting. You read it everywhere. You see it everywhere. You are not allowed to write an article about his potential suitors without including the Blue Jays. It's going to happen. It's just I don't really see why we even got to waste time on it, you know?
They'd be stupid not to be fair. Yeah. To be fair.
Like, absolutely right.
It's gonna be a big trade, and like there's gonna be lots of takes about trading blue chip prospects, and then we're just gonna have to be like, well, that's too bad.
Yeah. I think last week it was we talked about it.
It was Groshans.
Groshans, and then
Simeon Woods. You said Simeon Woods, and you said another one. I forget.
Klopfenstein, who knows? A middle inning delay. Oh, I think I might have said Gabriel Moreno.
Yes. I saw on Sportsnet there was an idea that it would be Lourdes and Groshans.
Right. They wanted to, whatever, listen.
Yeah, I do. See, the thing is, the added wrinkle to the deal, which you've heard it here first, is going to happen. Sources are telling me that the trade is actually going to be Lindor and Carlos Carrasco.
Right, right. Which, you know, reminiscent of David Price being attached.
Right.
Yes.
Which, you know, get your fifth starter along with your Hall of Fame shortstop.
It makes sense to me.
It's fine. The thing is, like, we were talking about this in our group chat the other day. Maybe it was yesterday. I don't know. Time is fake. But you said that you want it to happen now more for, like, our sake than for baseball reasons.
Yeah.
Which is true. But, like, the more we talk about it and the more I think about it, like, I really want it to happen.
Yeah. Oh, listen, it's...
it's one of those, yeah. I would buy a jersey immediately, and, like, it's a change of direction of the franchise move.
It's a dream deal. It's a dream deal. And it's not... And the thing is, right, this isn't... we're not just here... Like, this isn't, like, oh, the Jays should trade for Mike Trout sort of shit. Like, it's...
Right.
It's a thing that could happen.
I don't think it's going to, if I'm being honest.
No, of course it will. Stop that.
So we're just going straight.
I think it. I'm starting to see all the reasons why it would. I see a great match in terms of, like, literally the prospect package we talked about. Like, that's really a fair price, and then there's no reason for the Jays to not consider it because. They are, you know, they have proven to be very protective of their guys that they have accumulated, and they've done a long, long, long job of acquiring prospects. But part of acquiring those prospects is using them to deal. And, you know, the Austin Martin thing was sort of where, like, oh, as soon as you draft Martin, like, you can move Groshans, and it's no longer the thing that it would have been a year ago before you had done that draft pick. Like, it's...
You're right. Like, the thing is... The thing is, you're completely correct in everything you just said. It just, like... It just doesn't feel how these guys operate.
Like, I guess we'll see.
But that we said that about signing Ryu to an $80 million deal also, and then...
Right. That's the thing, right? Is you eventually that strategy isn't the only strategy. That's the strategy to get you to the next step of the strategy.
Right.
It's like the next move isn't going to be, you know, trading their veteran that they have now for more prospects unless they're out of it. Like that is sort of they're evolving into this next step, and they've talked about wanting to add significant players, which is honestly, you can talk about whatever you want. It doesn't amount to a whole heck of a lot, but I don't know. I feel optimistic. And you know, it's also been spoken about that there is a rather robust shortstop class coming in free agency, which means that teams may look at that and say that's the window we want to get into. But the Jays, it makes a lot of sense for them to go after a guy that their front office drafted and lock him down throughout his real prime years when they think their window is going to be open.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the question is then So let's play it happens.
Okay.
Because we got a couple, we got two separate questions about this in our mailbags. So let's talk it now. Let's play like Happy World, where the Blue Jays trade for Francisco Lindor.
I love it.
You said it yourself. You have Austin Martin, who is coming up, if not this year, the year after.
Right.
You have Bo Bichette. Mm-hmm. You have Kevin Biggio.
Mm-hmm.
How do you structure your like, not even forgetting the batting order for a second, which is another question we got, which we'll talk about.
Yes.
How would you structure the Blue Jays? Let's play the world that they trade Lourdes. Lourdes is the roster player that goes.
Brilliant.
How do you structure the defensive lineup for the Toronto Blue Jays with Francisco Lindor?
Well, playing shortstop and batting second is Francisco Lindor.
Right.
No questions asked. Zero questions asked. A near the top of the very game defensive shortstop entering year 27, which is like unreal. If you sign him for 6 years, he's still only 30. He ended his year 32. Like, that's a you steal. It's a steal. So he would play shortstop because he is just an elite guy there. I would move Bo to second because I think he has the ability to be a middle infielder, and you still want him as the guy who, if Lindor is hurt or Lindor needs time off, you still want him to be able to play shortstop. I don't think you want him immediately going to center to the point where you're like, okay, you're not playing the infield anymore. Like, I think you want him still in there in that spot. I think he has a lot of value. We've already seen them start to move Biggio around. So if he's left field or center field, that makes a lot of sense to me. I would love it if he turned into a center fielder. I know that that's the sort of thing that's easy to draw up and out of the park, and it's easy to say, but like, playing center field in the major leagues is very difficult. I think if he was still a left fielder who had, you know, 15 home run potential that got on base a ton, there's a ton of value in that, especially if he can move in and play third base, you know, in the meantime before you're talking about Martin. I think Martin is ultimately who they want playing third. And here's the thing, right, is even if, I think this is sort of to my point about the why the prospect cost makes sense, because Biggio, Bichette, Guerrero, Martin, Groshans. It's not happening. That, like, all right, those guys aren't going to make it. It just doesn't really work that way. It maybe in a miracle, but like, penciling in those five guys into a lineup is still already really hard to figure out. Just as it is when we're talking here about adding a Hall of Fame top of the depth chart sort of shortstop. So
I mean, like, the fact that three of the Jays blue chip prospects have worked out is kind of a miracle.
It's a miracle.
And we don't even know if they've really worked out yet. Even.
Right. And part of working out is just being like, yeah, Biggio is good, right? And Vlad hasn't even been great yet. And maybe he won't be. But like, I don't know. They've already gotten a lot of luck in production from that end. So, yeah, I think Biggio is sort of your guy that roves, sometimes plays third, sometimes plays left field. And then, I don't know, it's hard to really predict Martin because I haven't seen him. And obviously that's right. Sort of... part of the game, but if they believe he's a guy who can play center field, then I'm drooling over here. That's gold. That's gold. Or he can play third. I think third is probably step one, unless they really do believe that he's fast tracked, and then his quickest way up might be center field.
Man, that's I want that to happen.
It's reasonable.
Give me that. Please trade for Francisco Lindor, Blue Jays. That's what I have to say.
What if they signed LeMahieu instead? Where does that? I saw people talking about this week, and I got to say that's a pretty significant, not as good to me.
It's definitely a pretty significant, not as good. It feels more Blue Jays to me.
Right.
I don't think it's a bad move. Like, I think it makes the team better.
Yeah.
It doesn't make them. I think that if they make a Lindor trade, they're in the playoff conversation immediately.
Right.
If they make a LeMahieu signing, they're probably still an 84, 85 win team.
I feel like, all things being equal, he would just go back to New York, right?
Right. I feel like if we're saying the Blue, like, if we're extrapolating this season in this shortened thing, and we're saying that currently, as constructed, the Blue Jays are like an 80, 81 win team.
Which is generous.
Yeah. But let's say best case, they're an 80 win team. Lindor probably adds 5 wins.
Right.
LeMahieu adds what, like 2?
Yeah, so even if you're pessimistic and you're like, they're a 77 win team, you've just pushed yourself into an 82, and we don't know what the playoffs look like next year.
Right, and we don't know what else they're adding.
Right.
So, you know,
Carlos Carrasco, I've heard.
And a full season of Nate Pearson.
Right.
Like, they could. So, you know, if Nate gets you 1.5, Carrasco gets you 1, that's 86, 87 wins, maybe.
Yeah.
I know, obviously it's not as binary as this, but like, just from thought experiment. Whereas, like, if you do LeMahieu, you're looking at like 3 or 4.
Yeah. And we have to do our yearly, who knows how many wins Vlad will be worth? Probably 100.
Right, of course.
probably 8. I don't know. I don't know, 8? And as predicted, Robbie Ray.
I'm fine with it.
Told you.
How in baseball, how can you ever be mad at a 1-year $8 million deal?
It's nothing. That's less than they paid Chase Anderson last year.
Right. And like, I don't know. He was okay. He's going to give us the full Robbie Ray experience at all times.
Yes.
Which means we're going to see a lot of strikeouts and a lot of home runs.
That's right.
And
walks. And walks too.
Yeah.
He's 2020 baseball, the pitcher, man.
He is one of those, like, we've talked about this, about him specifically before, but he's one of those guys where, like, I'm fine with it because, like, man, if he could just put it together.
Yes, and when the games where he's going to look good, he's going to look like the best pitcher in the world. And you're like, holy right. shit. This guy looks like fucking Chris Sale sometimes.
I mean, that playoff game against Tampa, other than the one run immediately, he was great.
Yeah. The other big thing, Fred VanVleet was on GJ Redick's podcast, which is a slightly less popular podcast than this. it's JJ Redick, and I think it's actually surprisingly good. People keep saying it's surprisingly good. I listened to it. I listened to Fred today on the podcast. And listen, it's a free agent talking about basketball when he doesn't have a team to play for. He is and you know Fred's personality if you're a fan of this team. He believes in himself, and he believes that he deserves to get paid a lot of money because he is one of the biggest fish in the free agent market, and everybody in the NBA would like a guard that can hit from 30 feet and defend the 1 and the 2. So he wants money. This sort of made ripples, I guess. People were like, wow, we're going to lose Fred because he wants this much. First of all, the Raptors can pay him the most. And second of all, I don't know. I'm not too worried about it. How do you feel about all this buzz coming out that Fred VanVleet surprisingly wants to get paid a lot of money?
Yeah, similar. I think I was the most surprising thing to me was how much of the, I guess rhetoric was like, not how dare he, but like vaguely offended from Raptors fans.
Right.
That he's like, I feel like this Raptors team has this image where they're so close and everyone loves them so much that they would all take discounts to stay.
Right.
And like, that's just not true. Every single one of them could and should go get paid as much as they can.
If I could make a possibly unfair, possibly uninformed, possibly wrong statement sort of about this, is you sort of, the Raptors sort of got a lot of new fans in the last little bit that I don't know if the understanding of sort of how these things work are as entrenched as some of the longer suffering Raptors fans would understand. So I think a lot of long suffering Raptors fans, they'd be like, yeah, Fred will take the most money. Seems like the right. most obvious situation. If Chicago offers him $8 million a year more than the Raptors will, he's probably going to go to Chicago. I think that's sort of not for better or for worse. It's just the reality of the situation. I think that is probably part of it because he didn't say anything to me totally revelatory. You know,
no.
He thought the Raptors organization is incredible top to bottom and then everybody there really cares. And then they asked him if it was recreatable somewhere else. And he said yes because, yeah, another team could feasibly do that if they wanted to.
Yeah, and like I hope he – I'm of two minds. I obviously hope that Fred stays because love Fred. Yes. But I – don't want him to say if that costs us a run at a Giannis or a Kawhi or a whomever in the next offseason.
Like,
if there's a way to keep him and keep that option on the table, do it. Because, like, as much as we love Kyle Lowry, he is 34 and is not going to be Kyle Lowry forever.
Doesn't part of you... This is starting to happen to me more and more the more I think of this. And this is gonna be hilarious in the contrast of the segment about Lindor. Doesn't part of you like... I'm starting to sort of feel silly being like, oh, man, Giannis and Kawhi. Like, I feel like it's starting to get like, I don't think that's happening at all.
Yeah, I have that part of me too.
Like, letting, being like, ah, we'll let a guy like Fred, who has played here and won here and would take the mantle from Kyle and would probably be beloved by our fan base if he stuck around, we'll let him go on the off chance that Giannis wants to come here and play for a team with no Fred and no Kyle on it 2 years
ago. I've started to, my brain, which, like, this is based on nothing other than my own idiocy. I have now convinced myself that the odds of Kawhi coming back are higher than Giannis coming
here. Wow.
I am saying that fully aware that, like, that's not going to happen.
So the Clippers are terrible next year.
They crash out again in the second round or something. And there's infighting.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, not working. And he declines his option. Mm-hmm. And he's like, Kyle re-signs for another year,
right,
to run it back. And, like, let's say in this world, Fred leaves, but Serge stays.
Okay.
And then Kawhi's like, you know what? That team's got Kyle and Serge and Pascal and OG. Yeah, let's go make another run.
And, like, Giannis signs in Dallas, and Embiid has been traded from the Sixers. So the East is like,
yeah, it's like
he looks at it and he goes, I barely have to play.
It's Brooklyn and, like, nobody else.
Yeah, and Kyrie's hurt or... Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. That's, I mean, that's a stretch. Sure, yeah.
It's somewhat based on, like, Raptor damage in the sense that we've never convinced someone to come here, but right, we have convinced guys to stay. And so I feel like Giannis won't be convinced to come here because that never happens. Mm-hmm. But Kawhi could be like, oh, I've been there. It was fun and we won.
Listen, maybe...
Also, I agree with you. I don't think either of them are coming here.
I'm starting to feel like a sucker for...
Yeah, for sure.
Listen, they won the title.
Right. It's fine. But I do agree that we've sort of been planning for next year for, like, 3 years.
Yeah.
And, like, we're going to end up with, like, DeMar.
Hey, that's...
Which I would love. But, like...
Boy, that's... I had never even thought of that. DeMar and Kyle both... For making, like, $10 million, $15 million each versus, like, both being max players. Wow.
But, yeah, I'm with you. I put Lindor odds higher than either of those guys, I think.
Oh, yeah. Those guys, I think I have those guys combined, I have lower than Lindor. But yeah. I'll hold out hope. We believe in Masai. Masai will do what is right for us.
Exactly.
What else we got? What else you got? You got anything else? TFC in the playoffs, I've been told?
Yeah. I think it's next week. I'm not totally sure.
But people come here for our TFC. For me to read on our lineup that TFC did something.
I'll be honest. I put it on the run sheet. I thought we were going to be short. So I just put it on there. And now it's fine. So whatever.
Once every 2 weeks, it'll say TFC is playing Dallas. And I'm like, yeah, I'll say that out loud and see what Jake does with it. Nothing. I feel like I was going to say they blew an opportunity, but they didn't. They played a tournament.
Yeah.
And then they didn't win.
No.
Anyway, NBA offseason, I texted Blake this week. I was like, hey, dumb question. When does the NBA offseason actually start if the actual season is in a month? And it's like the 20th,
I think? 22nd, I think.
22nd. There you go. You're smarter than I am. Jake's a smart one. 22nd, transaction time. We're loving it.
It is. I didn't even think of that. Think about that. That, like, the NBA starts in a month.
Yeah, month and
that's
a half.
That's crazy.
I guess they're going to do it. We don't know where the Raptors are playing. My advice would be to figure it out now as a Blue Jays fan. I'd get ahead of that as much as I
can. They're definitely ending up in, like, Buffalo. It's going to be the same as the Jays. They're going to try and find sites, and, like, it's not going to... And they're like, I guess this one.
Yeah. The
natural idea is a great idea, though.
The pandemic is twice as worse as it was when the Jays were looking.
Look, there shouldn't be fans, and there shouldn't be travel. But I also know we can't ask players to bubble for 8 months away from their families because that's insane. So if we're doing, there's travel, there shouldn't be fans. But if we're doing, the Raptors have to play somewhere, but they can't play in Toronto, Nashville makes the most sense to me.
I love it.
There's no team. They have the arena. It's a cool city. Go there. Just don't let them play here.
I guess it depends on how the divisions and the schedule work out. But yeah.
True. Makes sense to me.
Anyway, good picks. We got recommendations for the week ahead and the mailbag coming up. Just a second. It is another time for us to reflect on our intellect and the things that we've been seeing and watching and doing and giving those recommendations outward to you, Jake, as a co-host of Monday's favorite podcast, the best damn music podcast going, Columbia House Party, with weekly looks at albums and songs. And you guys did Taking Back Sunday this recently. And that's
yes. That was Blake's favorite is what we call that.
Up there for me in an album that I've heard the most times in my life.
A real Blake album.
Tell all your friends. I that's, you know, that's influential in my age 60. I still have a T-shirt from Taking Back Sunday, from the used Blink-182 concert at the amphitheater that everybody in the world was at.
Wow. Yeah. I like that all your band T-shirts are from 15 years ago.
Yeah, Eve 6. Never had any Eve 6 merch.
You know what is funny about you and music and band shirts? Hmm. One of the first times I met you, you were wearing a brand new T-shirt.
Yes.
And I was like, this guy gets it. We're going to be friends. And then it's like, and you, I think I mentioned you once. You were like, I got the shirt. I like brand new, kind of.
That's probably the band I've seen in most in concerts, brand new.
Right, but it's just funny now, being like, my original thought was like, we'd be music buds.
Yeah, we were. And then
then you're like, I don't need to do this anymore.
No. Listen, you're
into the Front Bums for a day.
I had a couple songs, and there was another band just like that. Can't remember, but they're pretty upset about something. What were they called? I forget it. Doesn't matter. Yeah, Modern Baseball. There it is.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Basically the same band.
Yeah, close enough.
Anyway. Way off track. Got that shirt. It was a bootleg shirt. I think you guys used the photo in a tweet. It's the one where Jesse's covering his mouth and pointing forward.
Mm.
Got it really poorly printed bootleg outside of a show. Little known fact for you. Anyway, Jake, that's a long way to get to the question that I have for you, which is, what is your song of the week this week?
Song of the week this week is Greetings from Inner Space by Kill Lincoln. I've mentioned them on this show once before, I think. It was a nice day yesterday, and I had to go for a little bit of a walk to do some errands. And so, as I do when the sun is shining in inopportune times, I listen to some ska music because I like it. And if you like it, you should listen to Kill Lincoln because they're very good. Or if you just like pop punk that has horns, you should also listen to that because that's what they sound like, really. And they're great, and you should listen to them. And that's the end of that.
Love it. Match of the week. I just want to say that I was right. My match of the week pick last week, which was the Hangman against Kenny Omega, totally paid off and was a total banger. And Full Gear was awesome. FTR against the Bucks was really good, as was the main event. So it's good. You know, good night of wrestling. It's good when it's good. It's as fun as it is when it's bad. It's also very good when it is good. That brings me to the question, Jake, as we are in quarantine, huddling down, staying inside. Being smart, being responsible. We are also consuming a lot of shows and movies. What are we watching this week?
We are still in the midst of our Nip Tuck rewatch. We're into the depths of season 5, where the show just goes right off the rails, which is exactly what you want in a half paying attention rewatch.
Right. That's great. I mentioned Queen's Gambit, which I forgot to mention, filmed here in the region. So that explains all the buzz, right?
Right. Well, that's why everyone wants to see it.
Yes. I think it'll go down easily top 3 shows that were filmed here this year. For sure. People, you know what? People seem to really like that show a lot more than we did. I don't know why.
I haven't watched it or read anything about it, but I believe you.
People are like, wow, one of the best shows of the year. I'm just like, wow.
People like chess, I think. Is it about chess?
Yes. It's about chess and a troubled young girl. I think, again, as I said last time, my attention when it was quiet, probably not close enough.
Right.
People are like, oh, the quiet is the brilliance. It's like, yeah, well then, I guess I missed a bunch of it. Anyway, long way to say that we are watching Dawson's Creek, the exact opposite of what I just talked about. you're fiddling around looking for. We were trying to follow your lead of like, let's get something fun and empty.
Yeah, that's a perfect show for that.
Because I had seen it, but never like purposefully in order with any like mission to complete it all. Or
I've never done a real watch of it.
Boy, these kids pretty caustic for 15-year-olds.
They love the creek, man. That's what it's about.
And it's funny to be 35 versus being a teenager when these shows are on, because you're a teenager, you're like, damn, these kids are so grown up and they're so like cool. And then you're like 35 and you're like, oh, this is clearly like somebody my age writing for a teenager. Because no 15-year-old on the planet talks like any of these characters ever. It's
unbelievable. Yeah, man, that's what teen TV is. That's how you make them seem cool to teens.
It's unbelievable. I was like, wow, it's not even like it's the language they use is really just so over the top and verbose. It's amazing. So yeah, we got Dawson, we got Pacey, we got Joey, we got Jen, we got the whole crew over here in the house.
The crew on the creek.
It sounds like you don't know anything about the show. I'm not gonna lie.
Nothing. Literally nothing. I know that there's a creek and that they date each other.
Yeah, and that's one thing I remember as well, is they all date each other.
And drama ensues.
As with any kids with that many, any show with that many kids in it, eventually you have to get them all together.
Right.
Anyway, that's what we're watching. We're cool. Early into it.
That's great.
Shall we mailbag?
Yeah, let's mailbag.
Dave, after listening to you guys talk about points cards, I checked my PC Plus balance and have over $250 worth of points. That's wild that you would not know that. You must have. I don't even know how you would not know that. Every time you'd either like opening your app to get your points every time and it shows you right there, or maybe he has a PC points credit card and didn't realize it.
Oh yes, that could be it.
Which I would be like, why do you have a PC points credit card then, right?
Well, I get it. I have Air Miles card that I always forget to use, but I have no idea how much value's on it.
But like a credit card, you're constantly like it's your main. If you had a credit card, you use it for basically every purchase that you.
That's credit, true. That's
works. True. So you like if you were going to have a points card, personally, I prefer to have just get like a percentage of cashback. I get like 1%, 2%, 3%, depending on where I shop. This guy, all of his percentages seems to be going to PC points, which I will say as well, I do have a PC Plus card. It's just, I only use it for groceries. Anyway, he wants to know what he should spend his $250 of PC Plus balance on. I'll tell you this, we had $120 and we bought an air fryer.
That's right. How are you liking it? Do you like it? Is it good?
Haven't opened it. Haven't used it. We're gonna trade it in for a different one.
Oh, fair enough. Why?
that's life sometimes, my friend. I don't know how to explain why, other than sometimes that's just what happens. You buy a thing and then as soon as you get it, you're like, should we have gotten this other thing? And then you're like, well, I guess we're gonna get the other thing and we're not gonna have a fryer for months. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, it's not a necessity.
It's not a necessity is exactly the point. So we get a fryer, we do, we don't. But yeah, we're eventually getting an air fryer. And if we return it, we will once again have $120 worth of points. And I would guess that we will buy food probably. And he says, don't say groceries, but, you know, that's up to you. So I say get an appliance, get something you have your eye on.
Definitely. Definitely appliance that you want. Not necessarily. Or if you need it, definitely get that. Yeah. And also, if you just want it, get that too.
Buy half a PS5? I don't know. I don't know. Boy, this is going to be a tough one to answer. Bex, what's the best thing you read this year? Whew.
So here's the thing.
There's so much stuff to pick from. It's really, yeah. This is difficult.
I've read so many books.
There's so many.
Like, oh, man.
And there's so many candidates. Narrow it down to one.
Boy.
Sheesh.
I'm so literary is the thing.
Yeah. Let's start by mentally creating top 10 lists, right? And then write that down to five.
my actual point for this is that when the pandemic started, I was like, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to read so much.
Yeah.
I have not read a single page.
Tweets is reading.
In 8 months.
And writing.
Yeah, tweets. Read some great tweets. I feel like there was a good article somewhere I read that I enjoyed. Maybe on Defector, but I don't remember what it was now.
I read my wife's work. My wife's yep. COVID yep. updates.
Melissa's work has been great. I've been enjoying that.
So probably.
Yeah, let's say Melissa's work.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
Yeah. Quad A player, if you could morph two animals together, which one would you choose and what would it be called?
I would morph a raccoon with a dog so I could have just like a cute raccoon buddy.
A little dog coon.
Yeah. A racog.
Are they not? No, they're not related anyway.
I don't know.
Was a raccoon mammal? Seems like a mammal.
Yeah, it's definitely a mammal.
Acts like a mammal, I'll tell you that much.
I need you to know it's a mammal.
Yeah. You know it's a mammal?
It has to be a mammal.
How confident?
I'm like 98%.
Okay.
Is like... raccoon.
Yeah, that's more like it. Yes.
Yes, it is. It's any of seven species of nocturnal animals.
Yeah. It acts
mammal.
It
is. Nocturnal yeah. mammals, sorry.
It acts like an animal, like a mammal, which is yeah. all I really need.
Wow, look at this. Google. Meet a life-size raccoon up close in 3D. Look at this. It's a little 3D raccoon now. He's on my phone. I can put him in the house. On my phone. This is cool.
So you don't need to morph animals. You got Google did it for you.
This is crazy. Wait, how does this work? I don't understand. It's just a hand with a phone. Oh, it's point your phone downwards.
Yeah.
There we go.
It's on the ground, probably.
There's a little raccoon in my house now.
That's great.
On the floor. Look at that.
Good stuff. What a huge change of pace that must be for Toronto resident. Finally have a raccoon.
Cassie is giving me a look like she is both disappointed and confused.
That's classic mailbag look, I think.
Yeah.
You get one of those every mailbag.
Can I pet him on my phone? No, it just goes, no, my hand goes through it.
You gotta love the AR, man. I guess. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I would go classic. The Sharktopus is pretty appealing. I know it was a movie. But half shark hybrids to me always a winner, and the octopus one of the truly great creatures on God's green earth. Octopus, you know, their heart is located throughout its body, three different brains, I think. It can taste by feeling. You gotta love the octopus, and you have to love. Actually, you know what? I'm gonna go octopus killer whale.
Oh, your favorite.
Yes. So
why would you want an animal that you would be terrified of?
Well, listen.
Some would say actively despise.
No, I don't despise. I'm terrified of killer whales, and they are whales in general. It's because they're living oxymoron, as I've mentioned many times.
Right.
Talking about mammals, that's a mammal, my friend.
That's true.
Which is fucking weird because it lives in the ocean, but it breathes the air. That's fucking weird. I don't care. You can't explain that to me as a normal thing and then be like, yep, that's just a thing. And then... Like, oh, also they like, you know, live in packs. So it would be like an octo orca sort of thing.
Mm.
Like, so like nature's perfect killing machine with octopus body parts as well.
Perfect.
I'll say again, you know, literally the name killer whale. Like, they don't even, there's no dancing around that.
I'm not going to lie. It sounds awful. What you're proposing sounds like an abomination.
Truly, truly. Listen, you went the raccoon dog, so
yeah, because I want to hang out with a raccoon.
That's barely a morph. Like, almost nothing has changed except for the fact that it's not a mammal. If you could make one rule everyone had to follow for one day, what would the rule be? Wear a mask and stay inside.
Wear a mask is definitely the
please beat coronavirus.
You know what? It's not even just wear a mask. Like, obviously that's a big part of it, but just like, don't go to bars or patios right now. I know that the government hasn't said you can't, but just don't.
Yeah, listen, not that, I don't know, it shouldn't be that hard, but unfortunately it is. Okay, I got a request here to quiz you on some smaller towns in the area, and you try to figure out where they are in proximity to Toronto. I'm gonna make this. I want to make this towns that are that I still consider close to Toronto. Like nothing is further. Like nothing is even as far as.
Have we given context on this before on the show? Do people understand what's happening here?
Yeah, you don't understand a lot of direction.
Yeah, I don't know where any small Southern Ontario towns are in relation to Toronto.
So, like, I'm not even going to go further than Guelph, because, like, Guelph is pretty close. Like, do you know where Orangevale is in comparison to Toronto?
Here's the thing. I know how to get there. Direction-wise, I'm going to say it's north.
Right. Everything's north. Everything is north. South is the lake. Of course, it's north.
So what? I have two choices here. It's west or east is the question?
Yes. Is it northwest or northeast?
Ooh. I'm going to say northeast.
Okay. Where is Uxbridge?
Are you ever telling if I'm right?
No, you are not right.
Uxbridge is northwest.
Uxbridge is exactly as far away as Orangeville to the northeast. I don't even know. What about like Bradford, West Gwillimbury?
I've never heard of the second one.
It's like Bradford, West Gwillimbury is one place. So like Bradford.
Okay. Bradford is northeast.
I mean, it's like just straight north. It's like straight up the 400. Straight up the 404.
Shit. Okay.
Okay, here we go. Okay. Topical. Georgetown.
Georgetown is... I got this wrong in the group chat, too. Georgetown is to the west.
There you go. It's due west.
Due west. Paul Gross.
Okay. Milton. West. Similar.
Milton's also west. That one I know.
There we go. Whitby.
Fuck. East.
Yes, here we go. Point. Okay. Port Perry.
Oh, boy. Northeast.
Yeah, he's on fire.
Nailing the shit.
King City. That's a good one.
Oh, King City's north. That one I know.
There we. Yeah, we're getting in. We're almost back into the city, right?
Yeah, that one's close enough that I know where it is.
Look, I will say this: somebody, I have sort of the opposite thing. Like, I still don't really know where Thornhill is, and I feel like I almost live there.
Yeah, I don't really know where Richmond Hill is, even though I've been there. So many times.
Richmond Hill is above the 407.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But I'm also never sure when I'm in Richmond Hill.
And I guess the highways... Do the highways help you or not at all?
Not at all.
Okay.
Except I know the QEW, I know, goes towards Buffalo.
Yes, that is true. And Buffalo is where?
Buffalo is to the south. It's in America.
But to get to Buffalo, what direction do you drive? Because you can't go due south.
You go, I've been to Buffalo literally like 75 times in my life. You go west.
There you go.
Okay.
On the QEW, like you said.
Yes, on the QEW.
We can move on. Phil, who's the best Weekend Update host? I grew up personally on Norm MacDonald, so.
I grew up on Norm as well, but I think the one that I like the most is Seth and Amy. Yeah, Jost and Che.
Jost and Che.
Seth and Amy, I always really enjoyed.
The princes of punchlines, Jost and Che.
Look, everyone loves Jost and Che.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who are the best Jost and Che weekend hosts? and once again, didn't you see the world? It's one of those funny things where, like, Saturday Night Live, appointment viewing this weekend for a lot of people.
Yeah, I did not watch it. I feel like I only watch Saturday Night Live when, like, no one's like, you should watch Saturday Night Live this weekend. Not on purpose. It's just, like, how it happens.
Okay, here's a weird one. Jay Nielsen asks you, you're not allowed to walk normally ever again in your life. Everyone else can walk normally but you. If you had to choose, would you crawl, walk backwards, or would you hop everywhere?
I feel like crawling creates the least amount of difference in my day.
Hmm.
Hopping, I think, is too tiring. And walking backwards would be disorienting.
I feel like I would probably pick walk backwards.
Just because it's like walking normally but backwards.
I just feel like speed-wise,
yeah,
it would suck.
I guess you could get like you could hook like a mirror to your jacket.
To the yeah, exactly right. And to the same point of your like crawling wouldn't change your life that much. Like you would eventually like, okay, I gotta work from home, I gotta crawl to the desk and then walk backwards
yeah.
to the
desk. Yeah, you're right.
It'd suck.
I think it is walk backwards though.
Wouldn't want to hop. That sounds bad.
No, hopping would be terrible.
Did you ever figure out what the song was that was in your head, Wes?
Did not.
And you can't give me anything to help.
I can give you that it's a female vocal.
Uh-huh.
Her voice is high.
Right.
In like an indie pop thing. Like she's not the girl from Churches, but like in that world. Or like Robin-esque.
Okay.
It sounds like it may have actually been in a car commercial, but it definitely sounds like it could be in a car commercial.
Ooh.
The tempo is quite fast. Like it's that kind of speed of a song. Like 16th notes, if you're a musical theory person. I think the lyrics are something like everything is moving forward, but like the syllable is like everything is moving forward, obviously in like a singing voice, but like that's how they're broken up. But yeah, I've Googled it. I've tried the Google, like sing it into your phone to see if it can figure it out. And no, nothing. I have no idea where I heard it. It could be a song that doesn't exist.
It's gonna be like a commercial. Like
yeah, it's definitely like a commercial or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have no idea. Still to this day, I have no idea.
Last question comes from Giles. A little topical. You get to make a burner Twitter account that will pump up engagement on your tweets. What would you role play as? Would you role play as?
I would
role play as Sportsfeld and just tweet nonsense throughout the course of the week.
If we're going by like the theme of like the guy who the politician who
yeah who said the, he was yeah. gay and black.
I would be a Degrassi fan. Does nothing but defend me.
Ooh, that's brilliant.
Yeah, that's and all.
You would very quickly not do that.
Yeah, immediately.
Be like, oh, this is just making people ask more questions.
Yeah.
That's a great question.
Or I would be a burner that pretends to be Kevin Durant's burner.
Right. I was thinking like I would pretend to be Ross Atkins' burner on my burner.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Or just like to be the Sportsfeld account and just tweet brainlessness all day, every day.
Yeah. Also fun. But hey, it gets engagement, and that's what matters.
Sometimes it does. Yeah, that's it. Oh, I will say this week came across like a, you know, 2013 Twitter was like really stupid shit. Remember like Marijuana Simpsons?
Oh, yeah, for sure. How could I forget?
Came across an account in wrestling. It's called Gay Gangrel, which is just like a character from the 90s wrestling if he was gay. And every tweet is, I'm Gay Gangrel, in parentheses Gangrel if he was gay, and it made me laugh so hard all weekend because it's like such a pure, like, that's what it was like to be on Twitter in 2013 experience. So maybe I was thinking about it. It's like I would be pansexual Gangrel, which is Gangrel if he was pansexual.
Perfect. I do miss 2013 Twitter, I won't lie.
They tweet out like, I'm available for interviews if you'd like to interview Gangrel if he was pan.
Perfect.
Okay, groovy. That is it. We have nothing left to do but answer the question that ends every episode, whether we are sad or not sad, after this. Jake, we are at the end of another episode. 8 months of episodes from a distance. That's hard to believe.
Yeah. That is crazy. Eight months of Sportsfeld at home.
You realize that, like, there's a non-zero possibility that at a certain point we cross having done more quarantine at-home episodes than normal episodes.
We've got to be getting close.
Whoa, maybe. Maybe. We did a full year in the...
Let's check. I can do this quickly. Well, you do your sad, not sad, while I check.
Okay, I'm gonna go not sad. Nice weekend, very light, very little on the line here. Beautiful weekend. Got to have a weekend Saturday off with the same time as my wife, which is nice. She doesn't always get weekends off, and I certainly didn't always get weekends off as a youth. And it's lining up for us for November. And if it may be cold and maybe crappy a little later on, we had a delightful weekend where we had brunch and walked around and went through Victoria Park in 20 degree weather in November. All you can really ask for. And as I said off the top, we're getting settled in. Feels good. Feels nice. Just happy to be in the situation we're in, considering how bad everything else is. We got this going for us, which is nice.
That's great. So we did, we did 60 in the studio.
So we're not even close.
So, and we have done
60 is like a year and 2 months.
Yeah. We've done 30, give or take.
We've done 30.
The first episode we did at home was, episode 136 on April 15th was the first at home edition of Sportsfeld. And this would be episode 165. So we have done half, basically, at home.
That's
we did.
That's wild. That's too many.
So I mean, they're all going to be at home now. I mean, you're in the region.
That's true. My home away from home. Well, we're supposed to do a fucking live show, but
that's true.
We should NBA it and just fucking do it anyway. No, I would. I would have far too much guilt to ever do that. To ever ask somebody.
No, I would never. There's no world where that's going to happen.
Yeah. Maybe one day, yada, yada, yada. I thought I heard something about a vaccine, but not smart enough to read the article or understand. Just let me know when it's done. That's all I need. You know what I mean? Yeah. Don't need the we're at 90 sort of thing. I'm too dumb. I'm not smart, Jake.
Neither am I. We're very dumb.
My wife is smart enough to understand. I am not. That is the truth.
My wife is smart enough to not only know and understand, but to just like make do.
That's all we can ask.
It's like, yeah, this is my life.
Anyway, Jake, are you sad or not sad?
I'm not sad, I guess. I don't really have a reason. I just like don't feel terrible.
Yeah, well.
Which I guess is a reason enough.
That's good enough for me, man.
Yeah, I think things are fine. I think I am content with the fact that everything is fine. That's which, okay. Like, I mean, which sounds like not interesting or fun, but like, I truly mean it. I'm very happy with the fact that like life is fine and that there are so many reasons why it could not be.
Yeah.
I've used that before when I don't have a sad, not sad to say. And I'll use it again. But right now, yeah, things are fine.
I think we're in the same boat.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. Easy peasy. Another easy one in the can. That's all for us for another week. We thank you, as always, for listening to Sportsville.